Oh, amen. I hope tonight that story never grows old. Amen. I was thinking in my own self, I know more about the Lord now than I sure did that day as a 13-year-old boy there in Vacation Bible School at Friendship Baptist Church when I called on the Lord. And I thank God, even though I was ignorant, God still saved my soul. But I'm telling you, the more I've learned over the years, the more it just gets sweeter and sweeter. Amen. And that story, if it gets old, I don't think it's real in your heart. Amen. It ought to be something fresh and renewed every day. And again, I think that goes back how much you spend time with the Lord. And I'll encourage you to get in this book and stay in this book and spend time in this book. Pray, search, read, study, witness. That's a part of it too. When God gives you something, that's just turn around and give it back to this world. So I thank the Lord for the truth of that story. Proverbs chapter 3 this evening. Proverbs chapter 3 as we're studying through this book of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs chapter 3. I was thinking as the youth choir sung and done a wonderful job, that very first song there that they sung, Jesus will never fail. And I couldn't help but think as we looked last week there in Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6, I can trust the Lord. Why? Because He never fails. He'll never fail. As my pastor said probably today, because he says it a lot, If he fails me today, it'll be his first time and he won't be God. That's the truth. God will never fail. And just because you don't understand it, just because it don't go the way you want it to go, doesn't mean God failed you. I know people today, I do, there's some that's kin to me. They're mad, they're bitter at God because God didn't do what they thought God should do. And listen, it's not about what I think God should do. It's what we ought to say, if it be thy will, Lord, and what God does is right. And that's what we looked at last week. But tonight's a different story a little bit. How many of you believe God loves you tonight? Do you? Sure He does. How many of you believe He'll take care of you? I hope you all do. Well, tonight's just as much truth as what we just said. And so Proverbs chapter 3, let's stand together. And we're going to read two verses tonight. And we'll try not to keep you too long this evening. This truth is one of those truths. I know it's true. I'm thankful it's true. But nobody likes it. So you'll know more about it when I read it here in a moment. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 11. The Bible says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. The chastening and the correcting hand of God. That's what we're going to look at tonight. And it's just as real as John 3:16. Not many people today see that side of God. The world does not preach that side of God. Most people just want to talk about the love of God. But you can't talk about the love of God without seeing this side of that love. I love my children. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But I corrected them when I saw error in their way. I love my grandbabies. But I want to correct them when I see error in their way, because I love them. So we're going to pray, and then we'll let you be seated, and we'll dive into this. Lord, we sure thank You. God, we thank You for this truth. And God, thank You for the love You have for Your children. God, I ask You tonight, God, to help us here at Gospel Light Baptist Church. God, help us tonight if we've lost our first love. I pray tonight would be a renewal. God, that we just fall back in love with You. Lord, I know You still love us. But God, I know many times we get hard, we get cold, we get indifferent. God, we lose that love that we once had. But I pray tonight, God, that You'd help us. God, help us see through this truth how much You really do love us. God, it's more than just a love that saves us. It's a love that keeps us and a love that guides us. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us tonight, God, as we study, as we try to just draw from Your table, Lord. And we'll thank You and praise You for what You do here in this place. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You be seated this evening. And again, we're looking tonight on the fact of trouble. I mean, we'll use ourselves. Carrie, I don't think I whipped you too much in your life. You was a pretty good youngin', and don't let that go to your head. But when Daddy had to discipline, why did Daddy have to discipline? Because you did something wrong, right? Is that not why? I had no pleasure. Now, there's a difference. I mean, I've said this before. I was raised around foster children. My grandmother was one of the first foster parents in Iredale County. Growing up, we had many a kids on our farm that came from some very rough places. I remember several of those children that entered into our home that had been beaten and abused. And that's not what I'm saying tonight. We're talking about discipline. We're talking about that rod that God talks about. And taking that from his perspective to our perspective. And you know, as a daddy, how many daddies we got in here tonight? Many daddies. You didn't find joy to take your son or your daughter into their bedroom and take the belt of correction or the... We had a 5-gallon paint stirrer that stayed up on top of our refrigerator. It said, attitude adjuster. I don't know where that thing got to. I think somebody stole it. They took it. I think Ethan and them took it. But I had no pleasure in taking my children and putting them over my knee and whipping them. As with the old saying, it hurts me more than it hurts you. As a daddy, I understood that. I had no pleasure, but I knew they needed correcting. And God does not take pleasure in chastening his children. But again, we got to understand why he does it, the same reason why we should do it. And again, it's not a place of abuse. It's a place of correction. It's a place of training. It's a place of getting our attention. So again, it's a time of trouble. You know, I didn't come home every day and say, okay, it's time for your daily beating. Sometimes I thought they needed that, but they didn't get it. But, you know, I corrected them when there was a problem. And that's what we must understand tonight. That's the reason God deals with us, because there's problems. Now, tonight, in Scripture, you'll find that there's places of different types of problems. Some problems are brought, I think, about the blind man there when the disciples ask him, you know, who sinned? Did he sin or did his mom and daddy sin? Who sinned that he would be blind? And God said, you know, the Lord said, neither one. You know, it's that I'll receive glory. Sometimes you're going to go through problems just so God will get glory out of it. That's true. That's a scriptural truth. Nobody like, anybody here just say, hey, I hope today's the day I have some trouble. Anybody like that? No, but sometimes we go through troubles. That's the reasoning. We go through these storms that God would get glory out of it. Sometimes you go through troubles simply because, and this is what gets, a lot of people don't understand. Again, we're not leaning to our own understanding. Why do these things happen? Why does God allow this to happen? You know, we've heard all those statements. You've got to remember where we're at. We live in a sin-cursed world. We are reaping the thousands and thousands of years of sin upon this world. And that's just part of it. You know, there's going to be those things. God doesn't let, or, you know, God doesn't disallow it. It's that sin in progression. So those brings troubles. Sometimes you're going to have trouble because you're just in the wrong place, wrong time. It's a timing issue. You know, you just sort of shouldn't have been there, I guess. But then there are these troubles and problems. When there's something in my life, now, you're not going to say that because, you know, y'all are going to wear your halos and say, I don't ever do anything wrong. Well, tonight would be a good night to say I'm a liar then, because we all don't do as we ought to do. I'm still a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And sometimes I have problems because of the chastening hand of God upon my life. Now, there's times I wish, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself in my notes, but I wish, just as, you know, you were the bad one. She worried me. She was hard-headed like her mama. Oh, wait a minute. She was hard-headed. I would go to discipline her, and I'm not trying to single you out. You're just preacher's kid, so you're stuck. She'd buck up, not fight daddy, but I am not going to cry. And daddy says, oh, yes, you are. Because I knew if I didn't break her. And there's times I wish that God was just, okay, whip me, God, and let's get this thing over with. But that's not how God says this. He tells us there, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but did you notice what he said there? He said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Apparently, there's some time involved in this. He tells us not to grow weary in it. So apparently there's sometimes that God's chastening hand and His correction is more than just, all right, God, whip me up and we'll get this over with. No, it goes on and 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 on. Because why? Sometimes we're slow learners. Sometimes we're hard-headed. Sometimes God has to break me. And that I do cry. He won't let me just buck up. He'll continue to press my buttons until He breaks me. Why? Because He's trying to do something in my life. So we're going to look at that again tonight here with that thought about these problems. And I think one thing that we've got to get out right off the bat is how this verse starts. What does it say? What's verse 11 say? My son. That's that love of a daddy to a child. And tonight as God is speaking to us here tonight about this truth of the chastening hand of God and the correcting side of God, He says, my children. And that's what we are to Him. So He says, my son. And then it goes on to say there again, He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. Can I say this? That's a fact. God doesn't say like we say, I'm going to put you in time out. 1, 2, 3. That's not what God does. God says, do this, don't do that. And if you do this or you don't do that, God says, that's not what I told you to do. It's not you get time out. God says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to do something to get your attention. Now, again, this isn't something people see much of nowadays, but it's still the truth. And God, again, this is a fact from God. God says, this is what I'm going to do. So again, it's not time out or 1, 2, 3 or stand in the corner and that kind of thing. No, God says, I'm going to put some chastening on you. I'm going to correct you. So it says, my son, then we see the chastening of the Lord. And then it also says there, it says, it says, neither be weary of His correction. Why would He have to correct somebody? Apparently we were wrong. You know, nobody likes to be corrected nowadays. It's one of those things, you know. We're not perfect. It'd be good for you to understand tonight, you're not perfect. You know, well, I'm as good as old so-and-so. That's not what we're looking at. Our guide, our example is who? The Lord. And I don't see a soul in here tonight counting the preacher that lines up too well. So He's correcting me. I couldn't help but think as I thought about that word of correction here, probably one of the greatest in my mind when we think about the Lord. He is what? That good shepherd, right? He's that chief shepherd. He's that great shepherd. And you look at a shepherd. And I got a book back there somewhere. It was actually written by a shepherd talking about what a shepherd is. Most of us hear that thought of a shepherd and don't really know the whole of what a shepherd really is. But a shepherd would have that staff. And that shepherd, as he would guide those sheep, he would use that staff to keep them going in the right way. And if one wouldn't listen, he'd pop it a little harder. And if it wouldn't listen, he'd pop it a little harder. And sometimes that sheep would be hard-headed Baptist. And he would take that hook and hook him and jerk him back where he needed to be. Well, you ain't going to tell me what to do, preacher. Preacher ain't telling you what to do. Your God is trying to tell you what to do. And I'm not your God. Don't take that out of context. I'm just a messenger. But he says again here that he says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. So again, there must be that understanding that we're not always right, that we do mess up. But notice also there must be a problem with this, because he warns them not just so much of the chastening or the correcting, but he says there to despise not and to not grow weary in that. Wouldn't you think tonight that we would be encouraged to know that somebody wanted the best for us? Wouldn't you think that would be truth? But you as a parent, let's put it back down on our level. You as a parent, when you were disciplining your children, what you were doing it because you wanted the best for them. But now that we're older, we know that they had no idea what the best really was. And tonight, we as God's children, we don't truly understand that His way is best. We'll say we do it, as long as it goes the way we want it to go. So apparently there's a problem here of us despising and us growing weary and getting tired. Why? Because it's so easy to go with the flow, isn't it? It's easier to float downstream. It's easier to go to the world. It takes no effort. It takes no discipline. Just like flushing the commode, it just spins around and down you go. That's the world's way. It takes more to stand. It takes more to go forward. It takes more to say, yes, Lord. So God tells us there to despise not, to not grow weary. The word chastening, that's an interesting word. What does it mean? By definition, it means to correct by punishment. It's not, don't do that. And God does give warning. We'll see that in Hebrews. God doesn't instantly zap you. And God's not in heaven tonight wanting to zap you. God gives you truth. And with that truth, He gives you a way of escape. He tells you, walk ye this way. Then you make the choice. But the word chastening means to correct by punishment. Now, I know in the day that we live in that, again, I'm not talking about abuse. There is abuse. I've seen abuse. But there is a right way to discipline a child, and God disciplines His children the right way. We'll see some things here in a moment about that rod. I know when we were going to church with Brother Sam up there at Freedom, he was teaching and preaching on discipline, and I never forget. I never thought about it. I don't remember the verses and stuff, how he brought it all around. He always whipped his children. He's got three boys. He always whipped his children on the two boys, on the soles of their feet. Now, I've hit my children in anger before. I admit that. Probably wasn't the smartest things. And if y'all have been better, God bless you. But I've hit them in anger before. I wasn't in my right mind of how I should have disciplined them. Not that they didn't deserve what they got, by no means. I didn't punch them in the nose. But I have spanked them and shouldn't have spanked them the way I should have spanked them. God doesn't do that, I can tell you that. Brother Sam said he whipped his boys on the bottoms of their feet because, first of all, that's probably one of the most sensitive places that goes throughout your whole body. Well, that makes sense. And second of all, it leaves no marks. See, God, He chastens us, He corrects us to get our attention. Chastening means to correct by punishment. It's not a pop on the hand. It's not a stand in the corner. It's not a, I told you. It's not time out. Chastening is a physical punishment. It means to punish, to inflict pain. Preacher, God didn't say that. Yes, He did. You mean God would want to inflict pain upon us to get our attention? Yes. to get us to line up where we need to be? Yes. It don't have to get to that place if we'd be more obedient. But sometimes saying do this and don't do that don't get our attention. So God must give us a little pain. Now I know that's not 2000 and whatever. What year are we in? 18? I get confused. I've just quit worrying about time. Every day's the same. I get up, I go to bed. It's all the same. Today nobody sees that God. Everybody wants to talk about that God of love and oh, everybody's, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. You can be this, you can be that. You know, just do what makes you feel good. Hey, it's Burger King Baptist Church. Just have it our way. That'd be a good name for a church. Anybody want to start the Burger King Baptist Church? We'll have drive-up service. What sermon you want? You want fries with that? But nobody wants to understand that there is a side of God that inflicts pain. Chastening means to correct by punishment, to punish, to inflict with pain for the purpose of retraining an offender. Now, I couldn't help but think of my dog that we had to get rid of. I love that dog. He was a good dog. Beautiful dog. I always still want one. German short-haired pointer. His name was Moose. Great name for him because he was like a moose. I couldn't beat him. He chewed the world. He dug holes just to be digging holes. I whipped him. Hard. I inflicted pain. I bought a shopping cart, Brother Tony. I could walk out of the house and he'd see that little old box. And I didn't even push the button. He'd lay flat down on the floor. I'd catch him out there in the yard digging and I'd holler at him and zip. Turn my back and guess what he was doing again? Digging. I'd take his old nose and just rub it in the hole where he was digging. Turn your back, still a digging. Couldn't break him. You know what happened? He had to leave. You know what God will do to you? I've seen it happen. God will pop you. God will shock you. God will rub your nose in it. And if you're so hard-headed and hard-hearted that you tell God, I'm not, you know what God's going to do? You're going to leave. And I've seen people that I believe with all my heart, their lives were cut short. Yes, sir. Because God said, if you're not going to listen. Yes, sir. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Again, it means to correct by punishment, to punish, to inflict pain, for the purpose of retraining an offender, as to chasten a son with a rod. Can I just be a little more blunt this evening? Y'all too? Your son needs the rod. That's right. Well, he ain't even out here yet. He'll need it. Hello? Right. Can I say some of the worst people in the world are grandparents? Because you don't do that. It's one thing I can say about her mama that I loved. She was as tough on my children as we were. You're not helping that child by letting it get its way. Right. You're making it hard on mom and daddy when they go home. Right. I'd let our children go down to my mom and daddy's. It'd take us 5 days to beat it back out of them. That's right. I'm not lying. You think I'm making a joke? I'm serious.
That's right.
Our homes need it. Our society need it. Brother Rick. Look at the prisons. They're not getting anything to, they're not inducing pain in order to correct them. They're giving them everything so they can come back and do it again. You make somebody not want to come back, they probably won't come back. Right. Y'all all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Can I say it a little bit further? Not only does our homes need it, not only does our society need it, our churches need it. We need to learn how to behave in the house of the Lord. It's not popular today, but it's still right. This is what God says, not me. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's us. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction, not time out, not 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, not stand in the corner, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Y'all all right? That's what God says. God said the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That goes from that baby. That goes to all of us. Goes for the church. Proverbs 23 verses 13 and 14 says, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the... Did you hear what God said? That's pretty big words, isn't it? I have been on the end of a beating. I have felt that hand. Wrong beating, I'm sorry. That's the reason she does it like this. I do it like this. No, I'm kidding. But I have. I know what it's like to get a whooping. I'll never forget what our preacher told us as young parents. He'd watch Sunday after Sunday us take Ethan out and Carrie out. Youngins ain't dumb. I believe youngins ought to learn how to sit in church. Youngins ain't dumb. They'll figure out, I cry, scream, I get to go outside or go to the nursery and play. My preacher, in all his wisdom, says, let me help you. He says, if you'll take that boy out there and give him something where he won't want to ever go that way again, you won't be doing this every Sunday. So there was a bush outside the church that we learned to strip little sticks off of or stems, and we'd switch them really good. And it didn't take long. They figured out they didn't want to go that way again. God said, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now again, I know, here we are, passive USA. You're warping their frame. I had something warped, but I don't think it was my frame. I tried one time to go get a... My daddy always made us go get our own switches. I tried one time to bring a dead one back. That didn't go well. My brother, he was determined not to cry, and my daddy just chased him around the yard one day. I remember that one. But God says if you'll correct your children, you'll drive something out of them. It's in all of us. It ain't just your child. It's all of us. Proverbs 29 verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Why do you think our country is in the way it is? Because so many children today are left with a sewer pit in their hand. The internet, their telephone, they're left to themselves. Is it not amazing that God would do that? That God would want to whip his children? That God would like to inflict pain or would hurt one of his children? And again, I know that goes against everything that we believe nowadays, but it's still the truth and it's what we need in our day. And God does it not because He wants to hurt us, but because He wants to help us. And if God will do that for us, should we not want to do it for our own children? We'll see it here in just a moment. Look real quickly again here in Proverbs chapter 3. It says again, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." Two things that I see there again that God says about this when God presses upon us that happens. First of all, man will despise. The word despise means to grow angry or bitter or resentful toward the Lord. They harden their heart. Then the word weary there, others grow weary, they give up, they say, "What's the use? I've tried to do right and can't do it, I'll just quit. And this is too hard." And God warns us as He's correcting us. And what's He correcting us for? What's He trying to do to us? He's trying to conform us into what? His image, right? Brother Tony, I remember, I guess the only deer I ever killed and mounted. I went to the taxidermist up there towards Wilkesboro to get it. I was excited, you know. Walk in there and there's my deer head. And he's getting it all finished up, just got through painting everything. It looked good. But there was one little place right there he couldn't get the hair to lay down on that deer. He squirted some stuff on there and he brushed it and brushed that little hair to pop back up there. He'd mess with it and he'd pop back up there. You know what he did? He reached over there and there was a dead blow hammer. He went, "Fat!" It laid down. Why did it lay down? He didn't break the hair. What did he do? The mold that was under that deer, he conformed it. See, sometimes things have to be beaten a little bit to get it to bend the way it needs to bend. Sometimes things have to be heated up a little bit to get it to turn and to bend the way it should go. Sometimes things have to be pried upon to get it to break loose and go. Remember that God is conforming us unto His image. And by conforming us, anything outside of the mold, God needs to correct it. And that's what God is doing. And He tells us again two things here, not to grow weary and not to come to the place of despising. And again, I already mentioned this, but with the tense of these words, it's an ongoing, continual process. Because He doesn't want us to despise it. He doesn't want us to grow weary. And again, it's not just one spanking. It's a continual prodding, a continual pushing, a continual leading to get us to where we need to be. I've noticed a man that grows weary and starts to despise will often lose sight of the purpose of what God's trying to do. And he'll begin to say that God doesn't love me. God's just out to get me. Again, nobody loves the rod of correction, do we? Nobody. I don't know anybody that likes to be whipped on. I never remember Daddy coming home from work. "Hey, Daddy, good to see you. Will you give me a whipping?" I don't remember ever doing that. There's many days that when Daddy drove up, I was dreading Daddy coming in the house. But it's making us better. It's also a testing of the flesh. There's a battle between our flesh and our spirit, and this is a testing of that. Notice the verse 12, the reasoning. It says, "For." What's it for? Verse 12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." So it's for correction. Brother Rick, I couldn't help but think as I was studying through Mississippi when I rode down there with you years and years and years and years and years, years ago. And I'm sure you don't remember this, but I remember it. Brother Rick's, he's been in so many prisons and stuff. But I remember us coming out of that prison that day, and I don't remember if you remember this. We was all walking out the gates, and we heard somebody hollering at us from the confinement area. And the next day we got to go in there, and got to talk to that young man. And this is what that young man said. I think me and you were together, Brother Rick. Young man said this. He says, my mom and daddy didn't love me. And he was like, what do you mean your mom and daddy didn't love you? He says, my mom and daddy would let me do anything I wanted to do. They never stopped me. They never corrected me. And because of that, I'm here today. And I've read my Bible and I've seen where they didn't love me because they would not correct me. That's deep words. God corrects us because He loves us. We correct our children because we love them. Even grandbabies, as wonderful as they are. What love the Lord has for us. Another thing, another thing with the thoughts of the chastening of God and the correcting of God, and I think this is wonderful. Who's He talking to? He says, my son. Now, I have wanted to. I've really wanted to. I mean, if it hadn't been for my wife, I probably would have done this. I've been at the store before, and I've wanted to ask that mama, do you want me to help you? Your child needs a beating. Would you like me to help you? But I can't go to somebody else's child and jerk them up and discipline them. If I did, Brother Rick, come see me in jail. I can't do that. Why? They don't belong to me. Remember that woman that got told to us we shouldn't? Walmart. That woman there about ready to see my chastening of her. She was telling us how we shouldn't whip our youngin'. I was about to tell her she better back up. She wasn't nothing but a reprobate and a rebel. She was. Well, you going to mess her up? No, if I let her do what she wanted, she'd be messed up. But another thing, again, that I love about these verses is the fact that it shows ownership. When you belong to God, and again, I don't like whippings, but when He whips me, I know I'm His. He don't whip nobody that ain't His own. So it shows ownership. So it shows me, hey, I'm saved. If you don't get whipped, I check up. It's the truth. I'm done. Look at Hebrews 12. Let me give you this and I'll close. Hebrews 12. Let me show you a New Testament part of it. Same truth. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before. That's your opportunity. God says you need to do that. If you'll just listen, you won't get the pop. But if you don't listen, you're going to get popped. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be, there's this word, wearied, as we saw there in Hebrew or in Proverbs, and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And then notice this next word. And scourgeth. That's pretty strong words. That's that correcting. It takes that rod. Sometimes it takes more than rod. For verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's the truth we just said. If God does not whip you, then either God's a liar or you're not a son. Everybody do like this. It's what God says. And if you don't get that scourging from God when we're not right, I'd want to know why. And again, God's not a liar. Verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? My daddy, when he said something, I knew. Trust me. I don't know how y'all was. I didn't get this but one time in my life. I don't even know. I've been so far out of the systems lately. Do they still have parent-teachers meetings? Do they still do that? I don't know. But I remember the first day of school. We'd always have that, you know, the night before class start type thing. Mom and daddy go to every one of our teachers, and this is what my daddy would say. If he gives you any trouble, you let me know, and I'll take care of it when he gets home. Mm-hmm. That happened one time in my life. I got in trouble at school. That wasn't nothing to what happened when I got home. Why? Daddy meant what he said. Yes, sir. I learned to not hate my daddy. I learned to fear and reverence him in such a way because I knew he meant what he said. And that's what God says. Verse 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof are partakers, then ye are bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily are for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Did you see that? I can't imagine me whipping my youngins for pleasure. I'd rather do something else. But God says they did it for pleasure. But he for our profit. That hand of God that hurts from time to time is a hand that loves me and is doing it for not his profit, my profit. That we might be partakers of his holiness. Be ye holy, for he is holy. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's no fun to go through it. But when it's all said and done, isn't it glorious to see where God's brought you to? Amen. So again, Proverbs chapter 3. The Bible says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I hope you're a son tonight and not a bastard. Preacher, you shouldn't say that. I didn't say that. God said it. If you're a son, you have a home in heaven. If you're a bastard, you won't be going to heaven. God loves you. He's trying to conform you. When you get under that, realize he's doing it for our profit. Let's stand together this evening. Miss Gail played just a little bit. Brother.